We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy Friday. Morning skate in the books. Boston, Buffalo, first time this season happens tonight. You'll hear it right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And if you're not up to speed yet on where to watch the game tonight, you're going to want to get ESPN Plus so you can stream it. It is one of eight this year that will fall into that category. Details at sabres.com. Marty Baron, how are you on this fine Friday?
You know, I have to admit, it has been a whirlwind of a morning, and I hope it continues, which means that things are happening, busy. I like to be busy, you know me, but I want the Sabres to be busy tonight. I want the game. I'm going to be watching it from the press box, not as a analyst, but as a observer of things. I'm going to have my coffee, my popcorn. No coffee. Popcorn, chocolate chip cookie, maybe a Coke or two, just the caffeine kicks in. So, yeah. Doing good.
About a spot of tea. Do you like tea?
No, I don't like tea. I don't like coffee. I shouldn't be doing caffeine, to be honest with you. I'm wired up as it is. I should be taking like downers, not uppers. Definitely.
Well, if you're this wired right now, which you are clearly, then I should pose the question right off the bat. What would a win over Boston do as far as changing... We'll start with your expectations for this Sabres team and then, you know, follow it by what do you think it would do to fans' expectations for this team?
Okay, so I don't think it changes my expectations because from the start of the season, I thought they will not get outworked. They will work. They will be on pucks. That's how Don Granato is pushing them, and they'll play a strong system. That's happening. That's happened through the first three games. Now, I think it's going to change the expectations of a lot of people if the Buffalo Sabres beat the Boston Bruins tonight, because right now you could say, okay, they beat Montreal, who's 0-5 now. They beat the Arizona Coyotes, who are not good.
I was wrong, by the way. Sorry, Vemelka didn't get his first win last night.
No, he did not. But listen, it could have been 10-1. Instead, it was 5-1. So it could have been 10-1. Vemelka made some saves, but still, like, Arizona's not good. And the Vancouver Canucks had an off night. I'll say this. They had an off night against the Sabres. They're a good offensive team. They had an off night against the Sabres. So let's just put that aside. I think if the Sabres beat the Bruins tonight, now the rest of the league and the rest of the people are going to say, oh, now they finally beat a quality opponent. I don't think it matters. You play the game that's in front of you. So my expectations don't change all that much. You know, if they go out tonight and they work and they pressure the puck and they play structured, I like it. The results are going to be what the results are going to be. You know, the Sabres right now are number one in the league at even strength in expected goals against. I've said it for years. And we got to point out that JJ Torito is producing this morning, and he used to do the show years ago, and now he's doing other projects. So
he's Bobby Big Wheel.
He's filling in for Jeff. But JJ will tell you, years ago, I kept saying, all I want is you guys to defend. That's all that you can do.
How is it we're so opposite? All I've wanted for a decade is for them to score.
No, but if you're not winning, You have to defend first because
that
gives you
your problems. It's 2021 for crying out loud.
Duffer, I know what you're trying to do. You're not going to get me on the bait here. I'm telling you, the success the Sabres have had so far this year is they defend, and then you build into this, okay, now that we've figured out our zone, we can create, we can take chances, we can try to outscore your problems. But for years, I've said you have to defend, and right now the Sabres are the best defending team at 5-on-5. Okay, the competition wasn't great, but still, they're number one.
And they are number two in shot attempt percentage. They are here was one I was going to bring up. They are 14th, which is in context a considerable rise from where they've been.
Okay.
They are 14th in 5-on-5 shooting percentage and save percentage, often known as PDO.
Yep.
It's significant because they're actually above 100, which is where you need to be. They're at 101.2. But if you break it off just in shooting percentage, they're also 14th at 5-on-5, which is what I wanted to get to you on. They're at 7.4%. It's not a high number. We've talked often about the great scoring teams, typically in the high nines,
yep,
low tens. Washington Capitals fall into the top five every year.
Yes.
Which is amazing because everybody just looks at Ovi, but it's like, no, they actually, their shooters shoot a little more successfully than, you know, the average, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
7.4. Last year was 6.7. And they have typically hovered in that range in all situations or lower during this past decade. Where would you like them to get? What is a realistic number for them to achieve at 5-on-5 shooting percentage? I mean, right now, 7.4 is 14th in the league. And if this team is in the middle of the league in anything, I think that's a pretty big improvement.
Absolutely. I think we have to expect, and we've said it along. Anyway, I said it along. I don't think that the Sabres are going to score a lot of goals this year.
Correct.
I don't think they have... You play Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron tonight. I mean, those are high-end players. Now, we have good players, but we don't have high-end players that are going to get you 10, 12, 14% scoring percentage, shooting percentage, right? So I think seven and a half, I'm good with it. As long as it's consistent, as long as your special teams fill in a little bit. Bingo. Winning games, 2-1-3-2, Duffer, I know it's not scoring 5-4, but it's still a good, solid base for the Sabres to be on right now. Coaches-wise, that's probably what they want.
They are fifth in the league on the power play right now at 36.4. It's reasonable to assume that that regresses to, let's hope, for 25% on the season. That would keep them in the top 10 easily.
Yes.
They are tied for first in the NHL on penalty kill with the upstart San Jose Sharks, who are also 3-0. Both teams are 100%. If that drops 15%, it will still keep them in the top half of the league.
Absolutely.
Of which they were nowhere close last year. Anything under 80% is embarrassing for a penalty kill, and they weren't close to it last year. So
well,
I
you
agree
talk about
wholeheartedly.
The penalty kill.
They can live with the 7.4 shooting percentage at 5-on-5 if the special teams regress to a reasonable and respectable level. Right now, they are way, way, way over expectations because the sample size is so small.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sample size is small. And you also have to think that, you know, I mean, when Middlestad comes back, that's going to help. Maybe he doesn't take a lot of shot, but maybe he gets a few goals. That's talent that you have.
Yep.
You know, Kyle Poso and Zemgus Girgensson right now are above their probably usual numbers when it comes to a shooting percentage and goals. So that may drop, but some guys are going to step up. But again, so entering last night, there was five teams that were winless in the National Hockey League. Five. Four of them were 29th, 30th, 31st, and 32nd on the penalty kill. So if you're not defending, you're not winning. It's simple. Now, I get that Tampa Bay may outscore their problems, and that's a unique situation. But even the other night, like the Vegas Golden Knights, they have injuries. They can't outscore their problem. You know, no. they're going to give up tons of chances. They needed to defend better against St. Louis. They needed Leonard to be fantastic, and they still lost 3-1 in an empty net. So that, to me, like, the shooting percentage is great. I love it. It's doesn't have to be at 12%. Doesn't have to be at 15%. 7 to 8.5%. That's where you want it to be. Well, as long as you defend and your special teams work, you're okay.
If they end up over 10% somehow, which would be almost impossible, they will make the playoffs.
Wow, let's mark that down. We are October 22nd, and we'll put the – well, listen, if they end up over 10% and they don't make the playoffs, then I'm really questioning, like, what's happened to their defensive structure, to their goaltenders, to their defense. Like, what is going on here? If you end up over 10% at even strength shooting percentage, and, you know, with what they've shown, how well they can play this year in the three games so far,
yeah.
I'd be very surprised.
All right. So you've addressed what this win, you know, could mean as far as how you view the team. What odds would you give the Sabres to win this game? Clearly Vegas has them as the underdog. What odds would you give them to win this game?
Well, they're at home. It's good. Home has been good for the Buffalo Sabres this year. I'm not sure that Don Granato is chasing matchups. But if there's a team that you may want to look for a effective matchup, it's against the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins used to have a couple of really solid line with Krejci on the second line. Krejci's not there anymore. You got Charlie Coyle in that spot now. I still think you got to play Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron really tough. So matchups are going to be a factor. Linus Ullmark factor. It's his first game of the season. Returning to Buffalo, it's going to be emotional. I think there could be a couple cracks in there that you may be benefiting from. I don't want to say a soft goal here or there, but I think there that could happen. So I don't know what the number is. If the Sabres are, you know, plus 175, plus 180, I don't know.
Yeah, they're plus 155 on some books. Well, there's a multitude of books. They range from 155 to 188, I think, on like a 9 outlet grid that I'm looking at.
Okay, so here's the thing. I am definitely giving them better odds to win this game than what Vegas has given them.
Right.
I am encouraged, and I like what they've done. And really, I watched the Boston Bruins play the Philadelphia Flyers the other day. All they wanted to do is trade chances, go on offense, trade a chance, trade a rush. I think the Sabres will not let that happen, and it's going to frustrate Boston. And listen, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is a game where it just doesn't fall in place for the Sabres. Obviously, there's no Cody Eakin, you know, so that changes the lineup a little bit, but I still trust in their structure and how they play.
Craig Anderson plays tonight. Eakin is, in fact, out for the weekend. Might miss Monday as well, as Tampa is here. Ruotsalainen centers align with Kujula and John Hayden, who comes in for the first time. Girgensen moves to the middle with Eakin out, and Bjork and Opposal will be his line mates. The Thompson line stays together. Cousins is up where Mittelstadt was between Skinner and Hinostroza. So we'll see just how the ice time and matchup breakdown happens. Obviously, most recent outing, Cody Eakin saw it pretty evenly split against Vancouver's top three lines. Yeah. Tage Thompson was pretty close to that as well, which speaks to your point that Don is not necessarily chasing matchups, although out of the same, you know, kind of out of the next breath, he has said that the matchups will become that much harder once they finally get on the road for the first time, although maybe not as much tomorrow in New Jersey because Jack Hughes is out of the lineup for them and the Devils are struggling a little bit offensively. Well, but
what would be your matchup if you had to match up against Marchand and Pastrnak and Bergeron? Who would you use as a line to go out over the boards every time that line steps on the ice?
Every time, you
look at a defense pair?
Well, I wouldn't focus on one line. I'd be using Thompson's and Girgensen's lines more specifically if I could. Yeah. And, you know, I would think that you would have to go with your top two pairs. You know, that being Dahlin and Butcher and Bryson Miller, but I don't know.
There's not a shutdown pair,
correct.
Right? There's not a big, heavy shutdown pair. So you have to defend by puck possession. And who's shown to have good numbers, especially last game, was Butcher Dahlin. And who's shown to have good possession number up front? Tage Thompson's line, that 70s line. And I wouldn't be fixating on matchups, but I'm intrigued to see if Don Granato looks at the numbers that way to say this is how we have to defend against Bergeron, Pasternak, Marchand, is we have to have the puck. We can't give him the puck. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Well, amidst all of that, this was not expected, but sometimes that's the case. What should we expect from Dylan Cousins at this point in time? Dylan, by the way, you know, and recognizing that offense isn't everything, but let's be real. Like, the Sabres need Dylan Cousins to produce.
To not just produce, score goals.
He hasn't scored in 23 games.
Score goals. Like, he had two assists last game, right? So, good. But I want to see Dylan find the back of the net. Now, I'm going to say this, and we've credited and we've talked about a lot of the Sabres players. I don't think Vinny Hinostroza has had his best start to the season. He was very, very dominant in preseason, and I don't know that he's played his best. But again, Casey Mittelstadt missing after game one really makes a big difference on that chemistry that Mittelstadt, Hinostroza, and Skinner had developed. So it will take a little bit. I thought that line was better in the last game against Vancouver. I want to see Dylan Cousins and gradually get better. And when I say this, is I'm seeing progression in his game. I'm seeing him winning one-on-one battles. But now the next step is win those pucks right in front of the crease, like battle for that ice. Like, again, we look at numbers. The teams that are struggling right now are not getting involved in front of the opposition's netminder. Well, how about this, Dylan? Like, Skinner is going to work the corner and work the high zone. Hinostroza is speedy. Find the front of the net. Dylan Cousins, find the front of the net and park yourself there and help supporting. But you're the big guy on the line. It's not Skinner and Hinostroza that are going to go to the front and take a cross check or two and try to deflect pucks and get greasy rebound goals. Skinner did last game. But I want to see Dylan do it. And maybe the confidence to get two assists last game will push him to do that a little bit more. You know, Boston doesn't have great defense. Let's not, like, Zdeno Chara's not there. Turcru's not there anymore. McAvoy's good, but I don't think Boston has good defense. Mike Riley had a terrible game against Philly. Connor Clifton struggled. So let's make that tough in front of Venus's net.
If you recall, when Dylan had some terrific World Junior success with Canada, he did find himself as a net front presence on the power play. He's not specifically that on unit two. He's more in the bumper position with Gergensen's, you know, being the net front right now.
But that doesn't mean he can't slide down.
No, of course. And that's what I'm kind of trying to dovetail off of what you said is I think, you know, obviously you need to see it at 5-on-5 as well. But perhaps there's an opportunity where that confidence gets reignited by something good on the power play. And, you know, we'll go from there. But he's definitely an interesting one, especially with Mittelstadt and Eakin out of the lineup. I would really hope and really like to see Dylan have a pretty significant impact on this game tonight. The secret weapon in all of this he sees the least amount of ice time among the forwards right now, but he is coming off of, I think he's been progressing well in a quiet way, but Arttu Ruotsalainen was really good against Boston last year. So here's hoping that trend can continue because you need it. You need guys that always feel good, especially against teams within your own division. Yep. And hopefully Ruotsalainen has that, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. Does the return of Allmark matter at all tonight?
No, it doesn't. Listen, Linus is a really good goaltender, a number one goaltender in the NHL, in my opinion, but there's 32 of them. So is he in the top 16 or bottom 16? I think he fits somewhere in the middle. But again, Linus has not proven on a good team that he can lock it down. The good goaltenders lock it down. They're up 2-1, 5 minutes left, lock it down. You're up 3-2, 2 minutes left, lock it down. I'm always kind of a little nervous with Linus, and he's erratic in that, but he's a big goaltender. And yes, he's had success, which is good, But success on a bad team doesn't translate to success on a good team. So, yeah, you know, maybe a little, you know, thank you, Linus, for all your time in Buffalo. We appreciate what you've done, but you moved on. Like, I thought there was an opportunity for the Sabres and Linus to come together. Mm-hmm. And the way I see it, Linus wanted to explore other options and he moved on. So you move on too, as a fan, as a team, as an organization, you move on with what is here right now. So yeah, it's kind of nice to see Linus come back, but you know, maybe they'll give him the Dominic Hasek treatment when he first came back with Detroit. That was a fun game.
Dom might have gave himself the treatment that game. Holy cow, he was bad.
Well, I think Dom may have explored the town the night before, and that may have been a problem.
You mean areas that he hadn't found in the previous decade?
No. I think he probably found the same areas, but he hadn't visited them in 6 months. So old that's
haunts.
Probably why.
Old haunts came back to haunt. Yeah. That's a very realistic and believable statement.
Although maybe not, because Dom played always better after he had a fun night out. Like when he's
called playing guilty, and we're all good at it.
Well, Dom wasn't so much playing guilty as much as he had a smile on his face after a good night out.
Like, I can tell you from personal experience covering, you know, being fortunate to cover a few Stanley Cup finals that, The latest nights always put you on notice to be at your best the next day.
So, yeah, the only problem is 2 days later. That's when you struggle. So if you go out on a Thursday and you go out and then you're playing Friday, Saturday, and you play both Saturday, look out. It's going to be a struggle.
Well,
Friday, you can play guilty. Saturday, you have nothing left.
Here's the thing, Marty. You find for me the last time the Stanley Cup final played on back-to-back days, and maybe then I'll remember not feeling particularly good for the second of back-to-back. So
here's the problem. If you play on a Thursday night and you win, and then after the night you decide to have a couple pops and it's 2-3 in the morning and you're half in the bag and you come home, you don't play Friday, but you play Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's where the trouble occurs. That's where the dehydration sets in, and all of a sudden your legs seize up really quickly on you.
I can tell you from personal experience, I never had to worry about the wins and losses. So I was pretty safe in that regard. Every night was a win on the network. So
my problem is I lose my voice really quickly after a night out. It's not on the air problem.
That was a hardship of mine for many years too. The voice would tend to disappear.
So if I talk like this on the broadcast a few times this year, I went out on Chippewa.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. The one thing I always remember about that, I was working with Larry Murphy and Bob Airy, you know, former Penguins. And it was back-to-back Red Wing Penguin Cup Finals in 2008-09. And Bob used to get the biggest rush when I would start the show and introduce them. And I would always say, with 6 Stanley Cup rings between them, because that evened it out for Bobby. Murph had 4, Bob had 2, but it always sounded better to Bob when I would lump them in with the 6 between the two.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, what a great
6 between the 3 of you guys. That's even
better.
Between
the 3, but yeah. It's best to never make yourself part of the story, Marty. That's how what I live, you know, by. So anyway, back on tonight, it's Buffalo Boston. Amerks are home to Syracuse tonight. They finally open the season at home. They finally open the doors of Blue Cross Arena to fans. Seth Appert joins us at the bottom of the hour. We're looking forward to that. Is there one more thing Sabre wise tonight? I think we've, you know, kind of
White at home.
Well, yeah, that's
so
that's
happy
awesome.
About it. It's going to be awesome. You know, being that it's an ESPN game, a lot of times I may not
ESPN
go
Plus.
ESPN Plus. I may watch them at home. And the fact that they're wearing white at home makes me feel good. Like, I want to go to the game and I want to be able to, you know, to experience the right colors. Listen, it's simple. It's the right colors. It should be white at home and dark on the road. As simple as that. So White Hot Friday tonight, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, maybe it'll make them feel like they're on the road, because last night the road team won 7 of 10 and the home winning percentage league wide has taken a massive hit since I first brought it up last weekend to you. Still winning, by the way, at 6.31 winning percentage, which is good, but it's a far cry from the 7.30 a week ago.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but it's definitely something that Buffalo's taken advantage of as they wrap up the 4-game homestand tonight. Maybe I'll do this with you right now, because there are still other NHL stories. Tampa Bay.
Yes.
So they set perhaps the professional sports standard in North America, if not the world, with their Stanley Cup rings after the bubble win.
Yes.
Now it would be hard to imagine that they didn't try to take it a step further. Now, Marty, I've read through a story in The Athletic post the 2021 rings being, sorry, the 2020 rings being unveiled in the spring of 2021.
Yeah.
That on average, those highest end Lightning Stanley Cup rings cost about $66,000 each.
Yes.
So at minimum, there's 50 people, players in the hockey department, that are getting that exact ring. Then there are 300 people overall getting rings, but at a much lower scale.
The wives in 2020.
You notice the physical difference. Yeah, administration.
2020, the wives or girlfriends and partners got pendants but this time around they all got rings, so they changed it up.
So my assumption on really raw math is that the first go around in 2020 cost the Vinix somewhere between $3 and $10 million.
Okay, just for it's a wide range.
Just for the yeah, but it's still real money.
Yeah,
and let's say they upped it a notch again, like. How does that hit you as a player?
Well, first of all, I used to always think of the playoff bonus when you got into the playoffs. So you're like, first round, you know, if we win first round, you know, we're guaranteed 10. If we win the second round, guaranteed 20, 40, 80, whatever, right? That's fun because that's vacation money. Two, the rings, right? So I saw the Tampa Bay Lightning ring in 2020 and I was like, wow, like what a ring. And then they had this big party back to back. That was the theme of the party, the players, their families, the front office. And they all were given a box with a key. And then they opened the box. And all of a sudden, not only is there a ring there, there's a TV screen with highlights of the playoffs, the season. Mm-hmm. Like, how amazing is that? Like, the ring is such a big memento and it's a source of pride, but you get to see also, like, imagine you're 85 years old and you open your box and you get the highlights of your Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just amazing. I thought they did a fantastic job.
It really is remarkable, and I couldn't agree more on the presentation of it. And boy oh boy, does Patty Maroon look unbelievable these
back
days.
Back to back to back.
What a charmed life, man. Unbelievable. All right. Lots to get to NHL-wise, Sabre-wise, and of course, Amherst-wise too with Seth Appert coming up on The Instigators.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Marty and Duffer with you, Sabres. Wrap up the homestand tonight against the Boston Bruins, looking to make it 4-0 before departing for New Jersey. They'll take on the Devils tomorrow and then come right back and have the Lightning here on Monday. Amherst finally opening the doors of Blue Cross Arena to fans. And tonight they'll do so for the home opener against Syracuse. Amherst coach Seth Appert is with us now. Seth, how are you, most importantly, and how are you feeling about being back in a very normal, we hope, environment tonight?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Really excited. excited for our guys. First of all, just, you know, what they went through last year and living in a bubble, a lot of them living in the hotel the whole season, not being able to do things outside of hockey. And then excited for our fans, you know, such a great fan base here in Rochester, and they've been waiting 19 months to come back here. And they're, as Marty knows, playing here, they're such good blue collar fans. They spend their hard earned money to come support this team, and that they've been waiting 19 months to cheer their team on. So probably most excited for our players and the fans.
So first game you play Utica tonight is Syracuse, right? Yeah. So I know you finally are getting a little bit of a buzz because you're playing in front of fans, but are you excited to face other teams than what you've been seeing for your whole coaching career in the American League? Because it's the same teams over and over again right now.
Yeah, and even in games one and two, it's the same. So as I said, I feel like in pro coaching is only against Utica and Syracuse. So, I mean, I certainly, our coaching staff is excited for the challenges that lay ahead with the full schedule and getting to play every different team in the East and in our division. But certainly Utica and Syracuse will be a big chunk of them. And this will be a great test tonight against a very talented Syracuse team.
Yeah, Utica, of course, the Devils, and they were here for the Prospects Challenge. So we saw a fair amount of that in the season opening win, especially in the performance of Holtz, I thought, in what was a 6-2 Comets win. Syracuse had the unique distinction of housing Tampa and Florida prospects last year, but it's back to Tampa now. But that's about all we want to say for the opposition, Seth. It's really about your team. What changes are happening tonight? What can you tell fans that have been following all along and watched in the Prospects Challenge and watched in Sabres camp for guys like Quinn and Peterka and others? Where do you see them and how do you have them lined up tonight?
Yeah, I think that certainly we have a really good mix. We have a ton of young prospects, Quinn and Peterka and Weisbach, Fitzgerald, Laxton and Pekalukin. And, you know, so there's a lot of really young, talented players for our fans to follow and fans in Buffalo. But then we have a good mix of the veterans to help along the way. And I think what we saw in game one, it was a weird game. We didn't play good enough. We didn't help Pekalukin enough, but we only gave up 23 shots on goal. So yep. Even though we played poorly, in my mind, we did a lot of good things. What our mistakes were too big. So from tonight, we want to clean up the big mistakes and give less A chances and more C chances. And then it was interesting because as good of a camp as JJ Peterka had, he had a rude awakening in his first game in the American League. And it was a challenge for him. And Jack Quinn, having the 15 games last year, where Jack Quinn was probably our best player on the ice that night and had one, was screened on the other goal, could have been part of four, and was really good in all aspects of the game, physically and everything. And JJ, you know, naturally probably believed it wouldn't be as difficult because he had such a good Sabres camp. And that's being a young guy and going through the learning process and not understanding that exhibition games are exhibition games and they're not played with regular season intensity. And that was a good lesson for all of our young guys.
Now, I had a scout that reached out to me. He went to the game and he says, listen, I know about Jack Quinn and Peterka and Scary Laxton and the guys you talk about. But he goes, there was a lot of other players on that team that I liked that I did not know. So how about those lesser known players and maybe what they can do for your team?
Yeah, I mean, those guys are huge. I mean, you know, whether it's Mike Mersch, our captain, who's a veteran of the American Hockey League, and he's so important. And then we just signed Mark Jankowski. He just got to practice yesterday, who's played 250 NHL games. Is a massive piece for us down the middle of the ice. And Weisbach is extremely talented and had a really good preseason both in Buffalo and with us. So we like the depth that we have. We think that even guys like Brendan Warren, Lucas Craigs, who are both physical, nasty players, are going to be really good contributors for us. And I think we're really close also to getting Brandon Biro and Mason Yopst back in our lineup. And when those two come back, the depth of our group is going to improve dramatically.
Jankowski playing tonight?
Jankowski is playing tonight. He made it. From the time we got the word on the paperwork Wednesday, Mark Jakubowski called me. He's like, he's cleared. I called him. He was going to practice in Hamilton. I said, well, you need to get to the KeyBank Center to test in the next hour and a half. Otherwise, the couriers are gone. So he got through the border to KeyBank Center, I think with about 2 minutes to spare.
Wow.
And then got the negative result late Wednesday night, which allowed him to practice with us yesterday and play today.
How does it work in the AHL this year? Because the NHL, obviously, they talked about the vaccination rate. There's only four NHL players not vaccinated. They are doing, some testing. There has been some COVID positive around the league. How does it work with you guys? Are you being tested twice a week, three times every day? How does it work?
Yeah, we're being consistently tested. It's not every day. It's not as much as the NHL. And some of it depends on where we're traveling to.
Okay.
And doing that in advance of that. Like we're crossing into Canada tonight after the game to play Toronto tomorrow. So we tested earlier this week. But we have 100% vaccination rate on our team as well.
Okay.
Are you keeping Malone in between Quinn and Paterka tonight?
Yes, we are tonight. They scored two goals. As I said, JJ didn't have his best performance, but JJ has been fantastic in practice. Like he's been really, really good. We're excited about, and I expect a strong performance from him tonight because he's a competitor and he knows he wasn't at his best the other night. So we're going to keep that line intact. Then you have another line with Brett Murray, as our fans know a ton about, and he's had a really good start to the season. He's playing with McInnes, another big power forward. And then Matei Pekar will be on their right wing. And then we'll have a line of Jankowski centering Weisbach and Mersch. Mersch is our most vocal guy on the bench and on the ice. And we thought with a new player, he would probably ease the transition for Jankowski in terms of talking to him a lot.
How about goaltenders? Go ahead, Duffer.
No, I was just going to say that's a nice little alteration from the season opener. I think the balance looks really good. Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, what about goaltenders? And if you don't want to divulge it, that's fine. But, obviously, Ukko Pekka Luukkonen gives up six. There's a back-to-back with tonight, tomorrow. Do you put him right back in and say, hey, listen, wasn't your fault. We didn't play well. Go back in there. Or do you let him watch one and put him in tomorrow?
No, he's going to go tonight.
Okay.
And we had a good conversation. That game was not on Upi. I don't think he was at his best. I think he could have been better that night. Because anytime you only get 23 shots, you don't want to give up that many goals, even if they're all quality looks. But I think it's important for him to get back in the saddle. He had a lot of good moments at training camp. He had a great prospects challenge. And so it's important for him to get back in there. And especially with our home fans. I mean, he's a guy that they want to see as well. That's part of it here. And it's a good learning moment for him to struggle and have to answer the bell. And then Aaron Dell, though, man, do I feel fortunate to have him. He has been not only in his play, so he'll likely go tomorrow, but his leadership. And he talks to the young guys about where to think about shooting. He talks to me about different things after practice. And I had him teaching the guys how to screen the other day. I had him teaching the defensemen where to shoot when goalies are looking different ways.
Yep.
And, I mean, think of the guys he's played with, Thornton and Marlowe and Pavelski and all these guys. And to have a resource like that for our players is invaluable.
Marty, what am I going to say next?
Well, I don't know.
Does Aaron Dell use the same terminology and say, play bad goalie?
The other day. Okay, Seth, you would understand this. We're talking about how you need to screen a goaltender. And I don't remember which coach used to say it. I think Mike Sullivan, that's now the head coach in Pittsburgh, used to say, you got to play bad goalie. You got to be in the right position, but let the puck go through you. And I obviously opened the door for Duffer to say, you know about a lot about that bad goalie over there. So hey, I'm not pointing a finger at you.
Play like me. It's going through.
Be in the right position, but let it go through you so you screen the goalie.
It's awesome. Seth, let's wrap up on a lighthearted note here. When you were envision the kids coming into Blue Cross Arena tonight. As a kid, you love the game so much. You're attached. You want the merch. What was your first jersey that you had as a kid?
In Minnesota, you grew up rooting for your high school team in your hometown, which is Park Cottage Grove, and you dream about playing for them, and you root for the Minnesota Gophers college team. So as much as I went to North Stars games, but the Minnesota Gophers was my first jersey. When you're a little kid in Minnesota playing in the driveway or on the pond, you're thinking about the state tournament or you're thinking about playing for the Gophers. It's an interesting element there. The NHL is bigger now than it was when I grew up there, but it was the Gophers or my high school team. Yeah.
So did you grow your hair so you would be like one of those big flowy like high school players that shake it for the camera when they go to the tournament?
No, I didn't do that. And I told my nephews who are playing high school now, I said, if you guys make the tournament and you look like a buffoon out there, I'm not going to be happy. So.
Now, because of what you just said, and obviously the natural turnover that exists within a high school and collegiate program, do individual jerseys then not really sell? Like it's just the team uniform?
Correct. Yeah. More so just the team uniform. My first NHL jersey would have been North Stars John Casey.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he was my favorite goalie because I watched him win a state championship. He was from a small northern Minnesota town. They pulled off a huge upset. I was 6 years old. And that was a big reason I became a goalie because I was like, man, did that look fun? And then he went to play at North Dakota and I had to hate him for a while when he was at North Dakota. But then he was obviously a really good goalie for the North Stars. So that was my first pro jersey.
Yeah, my first pro jersey, funny enough, and Duffer, you will laugh. It was a Real Cloutier number 9 Quebec Nordiques jersey. And then he came to Buffalo, right? He was in that trade. But it didn't even say Real or Cloutier in the back. His nickname was Buddy.
Buddy.
So it actually said Buddy in the back with the number 9. I still have that jersey, believe it or not. Buddy Cloutier jersey. So that was my first one.
That's great.
So did it hurt when Mario...
Oh yeah, yeah.
Created the great highlight of all time against John Casey and the D in front of him.
That was the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah, that was hurt a lot.
I stopped poke checking after I saw that. I used to be very active on the poke check, and then I saw John Casey go for the poke check on Mario, and Mario kind of went to the back end, slid into the net, which was so dangerous back then because they had the metal pegs, right? Mm. It was so bad. But anyway, what a highlight.
What a move. What a goal.
Sorry, baby. For your loss,
said Bob though. Cole. Yeah. Seth, thank you so much. Really looking forward to this season and very happy for you and everybody working in Rochester tonight to finally open the doors to the fans. Enjoy it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And let's have the Sabres keep rolling as well. That's been a blast to watch.
We're looking forward to it as well. We'll take a quick timeout. Instigators back after this on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I'm 7 o'clock tonight. Puck drops Boston, Buffalo, KeyBank Center. See it on ESPN Plus. Hear it right here. WGR Sports Radio 550. Marty, you didn't guess what my first jersey was.
So your first jersey, if I go that maybe your mom was influential in it. It's either Gilbert Perreault or Danny Gare.
You know what? I had multiple replica Sabre jerseys as a kid, but never had anything on them. They were just jerseys.
They were now, just like team jerseys.
Once I started working, like even just as a teenager, you know, had some disposable income, started dabbling and buying jerseys. I honestly can't remember which one I bought first. I think it was a Mario Lemieux jersey, to be honest with you. Tim Kerr, it was either Tim Kerr with the Flyers or Mario. And the first Sabre one was LaFontaine. So,
okay. So you talk about Mario Lemieux's jersey. I am very disappointed in my younger self that I did not collect as much as I wish I did not collect anything. I have the one year I was like, oh, I'm going to start collecting sticks or whatever. I have a Dave Vanderchuk, Doug Gilmore, Donald Odette, Stu Barnes, sticks. I have a Hasek signed jersey. I have a Mario Lemieux signed jersey. And then nothing. Like, you know, we have Razor on and he's in his attic and he has sticks and jerseys and gloves and he has everything. And I'm like, oh, I'm so stupid. I should have asked, you know, like a young Alex Ovechkin or Crosby or even in my early like Jaromir Jagr or whatever. Like I should have asked and I didn't. And I'm really, really upset at my younger self for that.
Who's the only player I have two jerseys of?
Oh, I would say Mario probably.
Patty. LaFontaine. When he went to the Rangers, I got the Rangers third jersey with Statue of Liberty crest.
Oh, you'll so get a lot good. Of money. You'll get a lot of money for that jersey on eBay.
It's not. A beauty.
People hate that jersey. I love that jersey.
Oh my God. It's,
and I love that jersey.
It's the blue one. It's great. It's, yeah. It's so beautiful.
And
anyway,
the reverse retro was good last year, but you know what memory I have of that jersey is the Marek Milik shootout goal on Olaf Kozik, because they were wearing, they were wearing those jerseys, and he comes around and with the fist in the air. And he has the Lady Liberty on his jersey with the NYR. It was great.
It really, truly was. Speaking of interesting, so I was pouring through the San Jose game notes, just wanting to see just what level of rookies that they have. And the, you know, the Jonathan Dolan story, you know, he's Ulf's son, right?
Yep.
In the notes, it says they are the first known father and son duo in San Jose Sharks history.
Why? Because there's an unknown father and son duo.
That's the natural takeaway, isn't it? Like, is there some illegitimacy out there that they're still researching and can't confirm? I'm like, I have never seen something so kind of controversial in the game notes before. Yeah. I thought it was
needs
hilarious.
To be a speech writer overlooking all the notes to make sure that people like you and I cannot take them apart and really look for something else.
All right. I had a million NHL things to get into, but it's not looking promising for us to get that. One word on tonight, quickly.
Excited. Let's get some people in the building loud, and I'll be there with my, I'll bring my air horn, Duffer. I don't know if I can bring it in, but I'll try.
All right. We'll see you on MSG tomorrow night. Enjoy it tonight and enjoy your weekend, folks. We'll see you soon.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.